macfound.org.
From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio.
Support for KPR comes from LMH Health Primary Care, providing care for patients at every stage of life across northeastern Kansas. More information at lmh.org/primary.
35 degrees in Lawrence, 36 in Manhattan. The time is 6:06. From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 FM in Lawrence, 91.3 FM in Junction City, always online at kansaspublicradio.org. Thanks for joining us this evening. Coming up in our next 30 minutes, an update of news headlines at 6:30. At 6:36, President Trump wants to close the Kennedy Center for 2 years because he says it is in disrepair. One critic says it could actually be a way for the president to cover up his failures since taking over that institution.
He's losing staff, he's losing performers, and he's losing audiences.
More on what to make of Donald Trump's plans for the Kennedy Center. Plus, we will learn about the peril facing a massive tunnel project. That peril is financial. We could run out of money by the end of the week. That story and a whole lot more still to come. Stay tuned.
Support for KPR comes from Kansas Tree Care. Winter dormancy is the ideal season for pruning mature trees, especially elms and oaks. More information at kansastreecare.com or by calling 785-843-TREE.
Help us celebrate 30 years of music that's shaken, not stirred, when KPR presents the Retro Cocktail Hour 30th Anniversary Weekend, February 27th and 28th. A whole weekend jam-packed with ragers and live music, including the Jet Setter Jazz of Nutty, plus Lawrence's own Exotica Cocktail, performing the music of Martin Denny and Les Baxter. For a complete schedule and details about ticket purchase, visit kansaspublicradio.org and see you there. Cloudy skies tonight with a low in the mid-20s. Tomorrow mostly cloudy with a high around 40. It's 35 degrees in Lawrence and it's 6:20.
The United States talks of using military force on Iran and also considers withdrawing American forces from Syria. They've been working to prevent a resurgence of ISIS. We'll look at the latest developments and the ripple effects tomorrow on Morning Edition from NPR News.
Join us tomorrow morning beginning at 5 o'clock on your KPR stations for Morning Edition. Matthew Algio will be your local host.
This month's KPR Community Spotlight is on Baby J's Legacy of Hope, serving Lawrence and the surrounding areas, providing financial and emotional support to families that are navigating a pediatric cancer diagnosis. Details at babyjslegacy.org.
You are listening to Kansas Public Radio. In just about 40 seconds, you will be listening to NPR News headlines, followed by a quick roundup of regional news from today. It's 35 degrees in Lawrence, and it's 6:30.
Sixth, for NPR News, I'm Brendan Byrne in Orlando.
A U.S. Navy fighter jet shot down an Iranian drone today in the Arabian Sea that was quickly approaching the USS Abraham Lincoln. That shoot down heightening tensions between the longtime adversaries over Iran's bloody crackdown on anti-government protests. This is NPR.
For Kansas Public Radio News, I'm Laura Lorson with your regional headlines. Republican lawmakers in Kansas are considering a bill that would force state agencies to hand over data about recipients of food assistance to the federal government. The bill aims to stop Democratic Governor Laura Kelly's administration from withholding that data despite an ongoing court battle. Federal officials requested the personal information of food assistance recipients, including Social Security numbers and birth dates. Kelly's administration said turning over the information would violate recipient privacy. Republican Attorney General Chris Kobach told lawmakers the bill is needed because as long as the data is not being provided, the federal government is withholding food assistance funding. He says the state has already been docked $20 million.
And that is coming out of the money that would be going to needy Kansans who actually need this assistance from the federal government.
The state has appealed the government's decision to withhold the money. Kelly's office says the program has not yet lost any money and is continuing to operate as usual. The state of Kansas ended the month of January with total tax collections near $1 billion. State officials say total tax collections came in at $988.2 million, about $12 million above estimates. Total tax collections were up almost 5% from January of last year. Kansas lawmakers are considering a bill that would end voting by mail if the state's signature verification law is struck down. The verification law requires local voting officials to compare the signatures on mail-in ballots with the voter's signature on file. But that law is being challenged by critics who say the verification process can vary widely from county to county. The bill that has been introduced in the Republican-controlled state Senate would eliminate most mail-in ballots altogether if the signature verification law is abolished. The ACLU calls the bill, quote, a recipe for voter suppression. The Kansas Reflector reports that the bill is supported by Republican Secretary of State Scott Schwab. Lows tonight in the mid-20s, highs on Wednesday around 40. This is KPR.
Support.
You can hear Morning Edition tomorrow, 5 to 9 a.m. on your KPR stations. We simulcast on both KPR 1 and KPR 2. Matthew Algio will be your local host. From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 FM in Lawrence, 96.1 FM in Lawrence, and many other frequencies all around the state, thanks to the generosity of listeners just like you. To support public media in this region, visit our website. Go to kansaspublicradio.org, click on support, and thank you so much for your help in keeping these lines of communication open.
Support for KPR comes from the University of Kansas, serving Kansas and the world through research, economic development, and education. Information about KU programs and initiatives is at ku.edu.
Cloudy skies tonight with a low in the mid-20s. Tomorrow mostly cloudy with a high around 40. Lows in the lower 20s. Tomorrow night up into the mid-50s with sunshine on Thursday.
Support for KPR comes from City Wine Market, specializing in wines for every palate and striving to help find customers' next bottle of wine since 2010. More information at citywinemarket.com.
It's 35 degrees in Lawrence, 37 in Emporia, 35 in Topeka. It's 10 minutes before 7.
You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News. Support for NPR comes from this station. And from Progressive Insurance. Progressive is looking for individuals in a variety of career fields who want to help build a culture of inclusiveness. More information, including application, at progressive.com/careers. From Procter & Gamble, maker of ZzzQuil, with a range of products designed to relieve occasional sleeplessness to help people fall asleep. Learn more at zquil.com. From the Charles Stewart Mott Foundation, celebrating a century of supporting efforts to promote a just, equitable, and sustainable society. More at mott.org/100. And from the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation at macfound.org.
What would it mean if the United States withdrew its troops from the fight to contain ISIS in Syria? On the next Morning Edition from NPR News.
Tune in tomorrow, 5 to 9 a.m. on your KPR stations for Morning Edition. Get caught up on all the latest national, international, and regional news. We're live, we're local, we are Kansas Public Radio. From the University of Kansas, we're KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence 91.5, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia 89.7, KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City 91.3, KANQ Chanute 90.3. Listen on the web at kansaspublicradio.org. or tell your smart speaker to play Kansas Public Radio. News headlines coming up in 1 minute. It will be followed by classical music this evening. Steve Seal will be your host. At 9 o'clock, we shift gears, and it will be Jazz in the Night.
Support for KPR comes from Green Lady Lounge, featuring Kansas City jazz music, cocktails, wine, and beer. Live Kansas City jazz 365 days a year till 3 a.m. Information at greenladylounge.com.
Cloudy skies tonight, lows in the mid-20s. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy with a high around 40 degrees. Lows in the lower 20s. Tomorrow night, highs in the mid-50s are our forecast for Thursday.
Support for KPR comes from Maselli's, hosting Carswell and Hope's 5th annual Valentine's Day dinner and dance party at Arterra, Saturday, February 14th. Full-service dinner, champagne, toast, and love songs. Tickets at carswellandhope.com.
It's 35 degrees in Lawrence. The time is 7:01.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Ryland Barton. The wave of resignations continues at the U.S. Attorney's Office in Minneapolis. As Matt Sepik of Minnesota Public Radio reports, the mass exodus began after an immigration agent killed Renee Macklin Good last month, and the Justice Department pressured prosecutors to investigate her widow.
The latest to submit their resignations include a victim's advocate, 3 prosecutors, and 4 Civil Division attorneys. That's according to a person familiar with the situation who's not authorized to speak publicly. Publicly, NPR first reported 3 of the resignations last week. The departures mean that the Minnesota U.S. Attorney's Office has now lost all of the lawyers who were prosecuting a series of major social service program fraud cases involving dozens of defendants. U.S. Attorney Dan Rosen has brought in prosecutors from elsewhere in the country as well as military lawyers. For NPR News, I'm Matt Sepik in St. Paul.
President Trump called his meeting today with Colombian President Gustavo Petro very good. NPR's Franco Ordonez reports.
President Trump met with his Colombian counterpart in the Oval Office for their first face-to-face meeting after months of rhetorical sparring. But tensions eased after the U.S. military went into Venezuela and captured its president, Nicolas Maduro. Trump said he talked to Petro about working together to counter the drug trade.
And we got along very well. He and I weren't exactly the best of friends, but I wasn't insulted because I never met him. I didn't know him at all. And we got along very well, and we're working on that. We're working on some other things, too, including sanctions.
At his own press conference, Petro described the meeting as positive and constructive. He told reporters Trump gave him a red MAGA hat. He said he added an S so that it'd read, "Make the Americas Great Again." Franco Ordonez, NPR News.
The White House says talks between Special Envoy Steve Witkoff and Iranian officials are still planned after a Navy fighter jet shot down an Iranian drone that approached a U.S. aircraft carrier in the Arabian Sea. The U.S. military says the shootdown occurred within hours of another incident in which Iranian forces harassed a U.S.-flagged merchant vessel in the Strait of Hormuz. Walmart is known for low prices, but Walmart shares hit a record high today. NPR's Scott Horsley reports the retailer's market value topped $1 trillion.
Walmart has long been a favorite among bargain hunters, and that includes a growing number of wealthy shoppers who are increasingly concerned about the high cost of groceries and other household staples. The company raised its sales forecast ahead of its quarterly earnings report later this month. Walmart shares were up nearly 3% by the close, adding more than $29 billion to the company's market value. That put the retail giant in the trillion-dollar camp for the first time ever, a rarefied neighborhood more typically associated with big tech companies. Walmart itself is a technology leader with one of the world's most efficient supply chains. Scott Horsley, NPR News, Washington.
This is NPR News.
Stardate February 3rd. The brightest star of the rabbit is a member of a rare class. It's a yellow supergiant, a star that's about the same color as the sun, but much bigger and brighter. It won't stay in that class for long, though. It'll quickly get hotter and bluer, then blast itself to bits as a supernova. Arneb is the leading light of the constellation Lepus, the Hare. It's in the southeast at nightfall, to the lower right of brilliant Orion. Its name is Arabic for hare, a name that also represented the whole constellation. Arneb is about a dozen times the mass of the sun, perhaps 100 times its diameter, and tens of thousands of times its brightness. The star is about 13 million years old. compared to 4.5 billion years for the Sun. But because of its great mass, Arnab has already completed the main phase of life. Changes in its core caused it to puff up to become a red supergiant. Now it's getting smaller, which is making its surface hotter. As part of that transition, it's turned yellow, but it won't stay that color for long. As it continues to contract, it'll get even hotter, so its surface will turn blue. And within a couple of million years, Arnab will explode. That will leave only a small, super-dense core, a neutron star. It'll be surrounded by an expanding cloud of debris that will shine for millennia, the final act of a rare and mighty star. We'll have more about the rabbit tomorrow. You can find out how to subscribe to our daily program at stardate.org. For the University of Texas McDonald Observatory, I'm Billy Henry. Good evening and welcome into our Tuesday evening listening. I'm Steve Seal. This hour will be centered around Schubert's sixth, the one known as the Little C Major Symphony. And this is music of Jean Sibelius, one of several of his works that were inspired by Finnish folklore, the Karelia Overture, played here by the Gothenburg Symphony Orchestra, conducted by Neeme Järvi.
folklore of his native Finland was an endless wellspring of inspiration for Jean Sibelius, but we certainly don't have to know a word of Finnish folklore in order to appreciate his music. The Karelia Overture by Sibelius, played there by the Gothenburg Symphony Orchestra, conducted by Nami Järvi.
Support for classical music on KPR comes from Kansas City Chamber Orchestra, presenting the Music of Love, featuring music for Valentine's weekend, as well as dinner and wine pairings, Friday, February 13th, 6:30 p.m. at the Kemper Museum. More kcchamberorchestra.org. And Historic LeCompton's Bleeding Kansas series of talks and dramatic interpretations over the issue of slavery in Kansas and the nation. Sundays, January 25th through March 1st. Details at LeComptonKansas.com.
Here's a look at the KPR weather forecast. It's 35 and cloudy. Wind is from the north at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight it will be cloudy with a low in the low 20s. Wind will be from the north at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Then tomorrow mostly cloudy with a high in the low 40s. Wind will be from the northwest at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow night partly cloudy with a low in the low 20s. It's 35 and cloudy. Stay tuned for more KPR weather.
Like many great artists, like many interesting people, Schubert was a man of contradictions. On one hand, he insisted that all of his best music arose from sorrow, and this implies even his music that doesn't sound sorrowful at all. Conversely, he also said that anyone who loves music can never be fully unhappy. Perhaps those contradictions are embodied in a work like this, one that seems wholly affirmative. The Symphony No. 6 of Schubert, here's the Chamber Orchestra of Europe, led by Claudio Abbado.
Thank you. Thank you.
Symphony No. 6 by Schubert, played there by the Chamber Orchestra of Europe, led by Claudio Abbado. Support for classical music on KPR comes from Historic Lecompton's Bleeding Kansas series of talks and dramatic interpretations over the issue of slavery in Kansas and the nation, Sundays from January 25th through March 1st. Details at lecomptonkansas.com. This month's KPR Community Spotlight is on Baby J's Legacy of Hope in Lawrence, supporting pediatric cancer families during treatment by helping with daily needs such as food, transportation, housing, and their everyday expenses. Details at babyjslegacy.org.
Now here's your weather forecast for the KPR listening area. It's 33 and cloudy. Wind is from the north-northeast at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight it will be cloudy with a low in the low 20s. Wind will be from the north at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Then tomorrow mostly cloudy with a high in the low 40s. Wind will be from the northwest at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy with a low in the low 20s. It's 33 and cloudy. That's KPR weather.
Here is a fascinating composer and someone we're really starting to get to know more and more around here. And she's considered a significant early 20th century Polish composer, and her name is Gracyna Baczewicz, and we'll listen to her Wind Quintet here, played by the Krakow Golden Quintet.
Thank you.
Very charming, very bubbly music there by the early to mid-20th century Polish composer Grzesina Baczewicz. We heard her wind quintet played there by the Krakow Golden Quintet.
From the University of Kansas, this is Kansas Public Radio. KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence, FM 91.5. KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, FM 89.7. KANV and KANV HD1 Olsberg Junction City, FM 91.3. KANQ Chanute, FM 90.3. And online at kansaspublicradio.org.
Now here's your weather forecast for the KPR listening area. It's 33 and cloudy. Wind is from the north-northeast at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight it will be cloudy with a low in the low 20s. Wind will be from the north at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Then tomorrow mostly cloudy with a high in the low 40s. Wind will be from the northwest at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow night partly cloudy with a low in the low 20s. It's 33 and cloudy. That's KPR weather.
Tchaikovsky wrote six symphonies, and while they are all wonderful and staples of the repertoire, six is not a ton of symphonies, and if you're a fan of them and ever find yourself wishing there were more, well, no, I'm not going to tell you that musicologists have found previously undiscovered symphonies by Tchaikovsky. That would be too good, but perhaps the next best thing is the fact that he wrote four multi-movement works for orchestra that are quite good, too. They are known as his orchestral suites, and I'm going to play you the third of those coming up this hour.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Ryland Barton. President Trump has signed into law a more than $1 trillion spending measure reopening the federal government after a brief partial shutdown. But Congress only approved money for the Department of Homeland Security through next week as lawmakers negotiate changes to immigration enforcement. NPR's Sam Greenglass reports.
Congress has 10 days to find a consensus. Republicans and Democrats agree on a few fixes, but appear quite far apart on others. Here's Senate Majority Leader John Thune on the timeline.
Which I had argued at the time was way too short to allow anything consequential to happen. But that being said, the Democrats insisted on it. So those discussions will get underway. But ultimately, that's going to be a conversation between the President of the United States and the Democrats here in the Senate.
Even if DHS runs out of money next week, Immigration and Customs Enforcement still has an extra $75 billion approved by Congress last summer to use over the next 4 years. Sam Greenglass, NPR News, Washington.
South Carolina officials are reporting 29 new measles cases since last Friday as the nation's largest outbreak in decades continues to spread. NPR's Maria Godoy reports it's not the only state with an active outbreak.
With 876 cases so far, South Carolina's measles outbreak is getting a lot of attention. But other states are also battling outbreaks of the extremely contagious disease. In North Carolina, officials are reporting 15 cases of measles since December. Many of them are linked to the South Carolina outbreak, whose epicenter is in Spartanburg County, near the state border. Arizona has reported 24 cases this year alone, while officials in Utah say an outbreak that began last year has grown to more than 230 cases. Infectious disease experts say as vaccination rates continue to decline, outbreaks of a disease that was once declared eliminated in the U.S. are starting to become the new normal. Maria Godoy, NPR News.
President Trump is demanding $1 billion in damages from Harvard University. NPR's Alyssa Nadworny reports it's the latest update on a months-long negotiation to reach a deal with the elite school and resolve the administration's claims of anti-Semitism on campus.
Trump's comments come from a post on Truth Social, following reporting in the New York Times that a Harvard deal would not include cash demands. The White House has made several deals with elite universities in the last year. In a deal with Columbia University, the school agreed to pay more than $200 million to the federal government. In another deal with Brown University, the school agreed to pay $50 million to workforce development training in Rhode Island over the next 10 years. Harvard University has not commented on the ongoing negotiations. Alyssa Nadworny, NPR News.
Air travelers in the U.S. without a real ID or another acceptable form of identification now have to pay $45 and go through an alternate verification option called Confirm ID. This is NPR News. NASA's long-awaited moonshot with astronauts has been delayed until at least March because of leaking hydrogen fuel. Officials say the delay will allow the launch team to conduct another practice countdown before committing four astronauts to humanity's first moonshot in more than half a century. Arizona's Democratic Governor Katie Hobbs says she's cautiously optimistic that Western states are moving towards a deal on managing the Colorado River. From member station KJZZ, Alex Hager reports that's on the heels of a meeting in D.C. that brought together Western governors and federal water leaders.
The seven states can't agree on how to share the pain of cutbacks to a shrinking water supply. The rules for managing the river expire later this year. Hobbs says they probably won't meet a mid-February deadline for a new agreement, but they'll be on the right path by then.
We were clearly at an impasse. I feel like we're at a place where we can start to move past that now.
State leaders appear to be moving toward a short-term deal for the river. The feds cautioned against a five-year deal that would kick the can down the road, but Hobbs says a short deal could serve as a bridge to a longer-term agreement. For NPR News, I'm Alex Hager in Phoenix.
Researchers at Washington State University and the Alaska Department of Fish and Game are using collar cams to study a remote population of grizzly bears on Alaska's North Slope. 12 bears have been equipped with cameras capturing their daily activities like playing, hunting, and foraging. The footage shows bears eating caribou carcasses, hunting calves, and later shifting to berries and vegetation. These Arctic grizzlies are smaller than their salmon-fed counterparts, weighing up to 350 pounds. This is NPR News from Washington.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include the Cy Sims Foundation. Since 1985, supporting advances in science, education, and the arts towards a fairer, more just, and civil society. More information is available at cysimsfoundation.org.
Hemelin. It's classical music on this Tuesday evening. Welcome to it. I'm Steve Seal. Coming up, the third of Tchaikovsky's four orchestral suites. Not quite bonus symphonies from Tchaikovsky, but close. And some Chopin for violin and orchestra later on. Frederick Cowan was an English composer of the late 19th, early 20th century. He's got one of those very English Elgarian mustaches when you look up pictures of him online, the mustache wax and the twirl on the end. This is a Reverie by Frederick Cowan. ¶¶
A Reverie for Orchestra by English composer Frederick Cowan, played there by Ramon Gamba and the BBC Philharmonic Orchestra.
Hey, it's A. Martinez. Checking the news these days might feel like a lot, but staying informed should be approachable.
So what's the situation there like now?
It should give you perspective.
What to you is the most significant thing that Pope Francis did?
And really, sometimes it should make you smile.
Apparently, there are also therapy llamas. Of course, NPR is all over the story.
This is NPR.
Now, here's your weather forecast for the KPR listening area. It's 33 and cloudy. Wind is from the north-northeast at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight it will be cloudy with a low in the low 20s. Wind will be from the north at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Then tomorrow mostly cloudy with a high in the low 40s. Wind will be from the northwest at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow night partly cloudy with a low in the low 20s. It's 33 and cloudy. That's KPR weather.
So I have a cheat code here for you. If you lament that Brahms only wrote 4 symphonies, you can kind of imagine that maybe there are sort of 2 extras in the form of his orchestral serenades. They're kind of symphony-like. Similarly, Tchaikovsky wrote only 6 symphonies, but he did also write 4 orchestral suites. They're multi-movement works that are not exactly symphonic in form, but you get multi-movements, lots of textures, a full orchestra. And given that this is Tchaikovsky, he's got great tunes just falling out of his shirt sleeves in a work like this. His orchestral suite, number 3.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The third, Orchestral Suite by Tchaikovsky, played there by the London Philharmonic, conducted by Adrian Bolt. Angèle Dubois playing violin here, and with her group La Pietà, in this arrangement for violin and string orchestra of the Nocturne No. 20 by Chopin.
Thank you.
It's always a tragedy when a musician has to stop playing because of illness. In this case, it's arthritis. Angèle Dubois can no longer play, but we have so many wonderful recordings of her violin playing. And there she was with that sitting of the Nocturne number 20 by Chopin.
From the University of Kansas, this is Kansas Public Radio. KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence, FM 91.5. KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, FM 89.7. KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City, FM 91.3. KANQ Chanute, FM 90.3. And online at kansaspublicradio.org.
I'm Maria Lopez. Now here's your weather forecast for the KPR listening area. It's 33 and cloudy. Wind is from the north at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight it will be cloudy with a low in the low 20s. Wind will be from the north at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Then tomorrow mostly cloudy with a high in the low 40s. Tomorrow night partly cloudy with a low in the low 20s. It's 33 and cloudy. Stay tuned for more KPR weather. I'm Maria Lopez.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Ryland Barton. Family members of Renee Macklin Good testified before Congress today. The 37-year-old U.S. citizen was killed by a federal agent in Minneapolis last month, NPR's Jasmine Garst reports.
The public forum was convened by two Democrats, Senator Richard Blumenthal of Connecticut and Congressman Robert Garcia of California, to hear testimony on the use of force by federal immigration agents. Several Minneapolis residents testified on being violently detained. Brent and Luke Ganger spoke about their sister, Renee Macklin Good. Here's Brent Ganger.
There are billions of people who now know her name, and it would be so easy to fall into the false belief that great heroic things are required to overcome difficult things in the world. But as Tolkien wrote, it is the small, everyday deeds of ordinary folk that keep the darkness at bay. Small acts of kindness and love.
The Democratic-led forum did not include testimony from federal immigration officers. Jasmine Garst, NPR News, New York.
U.S. forces have shot down an Iranian drone as it flew toward an American aircraft carrier in the Arabian Sea. As NPR's Greg Myrie reports, the incident comes at a sensitive moment when the U.S. is amassing a large military presence in the region.
U.S. Central Command, which is responsible for the Middle East, says the Iranian drone, quote, aggressively approached a U.S. Navy aircraft carrier with unclear intent. The aircraft carrier, the USS Lincoln, dispatched one of its F-35 fighter jets, which shot down the drone. According to the U.S. military, the episode was in international waters about 500 miles south of Iran's coast. The aircraft carrier is the largest of about a dozen U.S. ships in the region, as President Trump warns of possible military action against Iran. Trump also says he's open to negotiations, and his envoy Steve Witkoff is in the region with tentative plans to hold talks with Iran on Friday. Greg Myrie, NPR News, Washington.
A Trump administration proposal to end the government's Energy Star efficiency program has failed. NPR's Jeff Brady reports President Trump's proposed budget would have zeroed out the program, but instead, Congress has increased funding.
Energy Star awards its blue and white logo to the most efficient appliances and buildings. For the first time, Congress specifically instructed that just over $33 million be spent on the program. Previously, this specific amount was left to the White House's discretion. Jeremy Simons is with the Environmental Protection Network.
The Energy Star program's not fully out of the woods yet.
It's one thing to keep the Energy Star program alive and fully funded. What we really need is for the program to be fully staffed.
The Environmental Protection Agency didn't answer questions about staffing plans. Much of Energy Star's workers have retired, left, or were reassigned during the Trump administration's government reorganization. Jeff Brady, NPR News.
This is NPR. European governments are moving away from U.S. tech giants amid concerns over data privacy and reliance on U.S. companies. France is replacing Zoom and Teams with a homegrown video conference system by 2027. Austria's military has adopted open-source office software. New research shows that nearly 4 in 10 cancer cases could be prevented. NPR's Jonathan Lambert reports changing behaviors could prevent millions of cases each year.
Cancer has a variety of causes. Some people can't do anything about, like genetics. But many cancers are caused by factors that may be somewhat under one's control, like smoking or drinking alcohol. Researchers analyzed data on over 24 kinds of cancer across 185 countries. They found that about 7 million of the nearly 19 million new cancer cases in 2022 may have been preventable. Cervical cancer, for instance, can be largely prevented with the HPV vaccine. Drinking less alcohol can reduce risk of stomach cancer, and lung cancer can be caused by smoking, which an individual can quit. But it can also be caused by air pollution, which requires more collective action to address. The research appears in the journal Nature Medicine. Jonathan Lambert, NPR News.
One of the last people alive who had played in racially segregated baseball's Negro Leagues passed away. Ron Schoolboy Teasley is a member of 6 Halls of Fame and served in the U.S. Navy, according to the Negro Leagues Family Alliance. He played for the New York Cubans and the Brooklyn Dodgers in the era following Jackie Robinson's integration into Major League Baseball. And his .500 batting average still stands at Wayne State University. This is NPR News from Washington.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include the Wallace Foundation, an independent, nonpartisan research foundation collaborating with grantees and partners in the arts, school leadership, and youth development. More at wallacefoundation.org. This is NPR.
That's the first of two tunes recorded by Miles Davis called Milestones. That one from the late 40s, and the version from last summer from a band called The Empress opens up Jazz in the Night tonight on KPR. It's a four-female saxophone band. Purim Jan plays soprano and alto. Arena Terracubo plays alto. Chelsea Barrett's tenor, and that baritone sax by Lauren Sevian, with Steve Ash, Joy Ranieri, Pete Van Nosper in the rhythm section. The album Square One, The Empress, open tonight's Jazz in the Night. We're just in a few minutes. We'll hear from Joshua Redman, who comes to the Folly Theater Friday night. And we'll also go into the vinyl vault for some great bebop saxophone from 1972 from the one and only Sonny Stitt. But right now, guitarist Dave Stryker, his new album Blue Fire, recorded in the legendary Van Gelder Studios. The album is called Blue Fire, The Van Gelder Session. And here's the Charlie Parker tune, Dexterity, from guitarist Dave Stryker. Thank you.